Shortly after taking office, Mayor Bloomberg persuaded the state to give him control over the city's public schools. Since then, he's dramatically changed the system and put a big emphasis on data and results. Dennis Walcott has been school's chancellor for 3 years, but in many ways, he's been involved since 2002 when Bloomberg named him the deputy mayor for education. WNYC's Beth Fertig asked Walcott to share his views on a decade of unprecedented change in the city schools.
Before you were chancellor, as deputy mayor, you were involved in all of the sweeping changes that have been going on since 2002. So I wanted to ask you, which do you think were the most effective reforms and which do you think might have been mistakes in hindsight?
I think the ability to expand a number of choices in schools is something that's extremely significant that's benefited students like crazy. I think as a result of that, as you know, we have 1,814 schools now in existence, and the ability of not just having sheer number or size, but the types of schools that are available from career technical education schools, to charter schools, to single-sex schools, to theme schools, 9 through 14 schools where students are graduating with college credits has benefited the system tremendously. As far as something that didn't go as right, I think it's not necessarily not being done correctly, but in hindsight, how we message out the benefits of what charter schools actually mean and trying to do it early on, and the benefits it has to the system as another choice available for our parents. And it got pitted into charter versus district, and I think that is not good for the system. And managing that type of debate, I think we could have probably done it a lot better.
Interesting that you mentioned that, because one of the reasons you were brought in after the departure of Kathy Black as chancellor was because there was a great hope that you could bring parents in who felt frustrated, and yet that sentiment over the charters, over the co-locations continued by people who felt so frustrated. So what does that say?
Well, one, I'm not sure that's why I was brought in. I mean, probably a whole host of reasons I was brought in.
It was one thing people hoped that you would help with.
The external community hoped. But I think their hope was that I would probably stop charter schools more than trying to calm the water of debate more than anything else. And that's not what my belief was. So they were mistaken if they thought that I would either stop co-locations or stop the development of charter schools. I believe in choice. I believe in what we're doing around co-locations. And I think we've tried to make sure, especially around co-locations, and especially if those co-locations involve charter schools, we manage it better. And part of both the law that was put in place and part of our implementation and our staffing of how we do it, I think we've done a lot better in that regard.
There are now more than 1,800 schools, a 50% increase since 2002. Do you worry at all that New York has created really two different school systems, one for people who are sophisticated and know how to navigate it and find the right charter or theme school, and another for the people who don't have as good an education, don't know how to advocate themselves, and their children are left in low-performing schools?
Not at all. I think parents are wanting more and more information to become better informed consumers, and it cuts across all racial, ethnic, economic gaps when it comes to parents finding out the information, and then our job to make sure they get the information.
There's been such a focus on data and information, giving it to parents, using it to determine which schools are going to close, which teachers are doing a better job with their kids. And I'm wondering, do you think there's a backlash now against the standardized tests? Because we're seeing so many parents and teachers speaking out across the state and calling for a moratorium on standardized tests. What do you make of this?
So I see people who are speaking out against, and then I also see the people who are not speaking out. I mean, there are a lot of people who are not speaking out who understand the value of tests, understand the value of standards, understand the value of what Common Core actually means. And so you're always going to have people talking out in a negative way or talking about eliminating something. I mean, that just goes with the territory. It wouldn't be New York City, it wouldn't be New York State if that was the case.
How much of a difference do you think universal pre-K would make if every child had access to full-day pre-K? What difference would that make in the achievement results and the student performance in New York City?
There's one word that you have to add to that, and I think it's quality full-day pre-K. Full-day pre-K to itself would not be the great leveler without it being quality pre-K and full-day pre-K. And I think part of our job is to make sure we take a look at ways to expand it, but making sure the quality and accountability is there as well.
Mayor-elect de Blasio has also said he wants an experienced educator as chancellor. Now, the city hasn't had one since Rudy Crewe was chancellor in the 1990s. You taught kindergarten, but you were not a lifelong educator. You were not a school superintendent. Do you feel like you were ever at a disadvantage by not having a longer background as a school superintendent before this job?
Not at all. I consider myself to be really a pretty good chancellor, quite frankly, and I've gotten better as the years have gone along, and I'm not shy about saying that. I think it's a variety of experiences that you bring to the table to be the chancellor, and part of it is having some type of background in knowing education, and whether you're a teacher or principal or superintendent, that may be one way of doing it. But I think more importantly, it's also a managerial job as well. We are a $24 billion organization. If we were a city, we'd be the eighth or ninth largest city in the country. If we were a Fortune 500 company, we'd be number 40. We have 135,000 employees. So it's not just about being the educator, it's having the savvy and the skill sets, but more importantly, having great people who work at the Department of Education, which any individual can tap into, who are there, and the bench strength at the DOE is tremendous. But I basically disagree with the premise that you have to be a quote-unquote educator to be a chancellor.
The next chancellor is going to take over mid-year.
Mm-hmm.
Parents, teachers, students may be wondering, how is that going to shake things up? How much turnover is there going to be in the department, and how will that affect the schools?
Well, a couple of things are going on. One, that as a system and as the manager of the DOE, my team and I have developed a very comprehensive transition book for the incoming administration. We've talked to the transition committee. I've talked to the mayor-elect several times. Really, I plan to work hard until December 31st. We're keeping our eyes focused on our 1.1 million students. And I am very confident, though, that the mayor-elect, who is steeped in education, who was a former school board member, who is a very good guy, who cares about education, will have an individual who will also be as concerned and connected to our students. And it'll be up to the mayor-elect and the new chancellor to talk about the policies and what changes, if there are going to be changes, that will take place. But that's not for me to say.